So often we pray for the grace to do something or to have something happen in our lives. And it might be for some sort of suffering to be alleviated or for something good to happen in our lives. Very often it's something like a desire to pray more deeply or more often, a desire to understand the will of God in our lives more fully. And those are worthy prayers. And the most important thing we can do in our lives is pray for grace and receive grace through the sacraments, because we have assurance that we can do nothing without the grace of God. But also, grace builds on nature. So we have to have a good foundation, and we have to have the doors open to that grace. So if we're just praying but not actually participating or cooperating with that grace, it's going to be more difficult for God to work in our lives. And the greatest source of grace is celebrated today in the Feast of Corpus Christi. It's the Eucharist itself. And what we know about the Eucharist is that it is the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord, that it is Jesus himself, that God is here. He sees us, he hears us, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He understands what we want and what we need before we even say it. And yet by saying it, we cooperate with that grace of God. And none of us are worthy of it. And yet it's a gratuitous gift from our Lord. And so, when we come to Mass, the greatest gift of all is presented to us from God himself. And that's why you hear from many people, some of them whom have perhaps left the faith, many of whom are still practicing, who say, "I don't get anything out of the Mass." And when you hear this, you can say in a nice way, "You're wrong." Because whether or not we feel anything, and that's really what we're talking about when we say we're not getting anything out of it, whatever we're feeling, we are receiving. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are receiving the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord. No matter how the music is, or what the church looks like, or how the homily was, or what the people around us were doing, we always receive that grace, that great gift. But grace, like I say, builds on nature. So what can we do in a natural way, in a practical way, to prepare ourselves for this gift? Because St. Charles Borromeo was not known for his writing. He was sort of an administrator. He ran dioceses, he opened seminaries. And yet, he was a great saint and very holy in his personal prayer life. And so one day, the priest of his diocese in Milan wrote to him and asked, "Archbishop, many of us suffer from distractions during Mass. How can we avoid that, or how can we improve it?" So you see, it's not only in the pews that there's distractions, it's even up here in the sanctuary. And St. Charles said, "Well, the question is, what were you doing before Mass? Were you running into the sacristy 2 minutes before Mass started, throwing on your vestments and running into the church? If that's the case, then your mind is filled with 1,000 other things, and you're not going to be able to concentrate on what you're about to do." So he said, if you want to have a more fruitful experience saying Mass, you've got to make sure that you're recollecting yourself before you ever arrive, and then maintaining that spirit of recollection throughout the celebration of the sacred mysteries. Well, the same can be applied to all of us, because we have to examine ourselves before we ever come to Mass. First of all, we have to make recourse to the sacrament of reconciliation. Because if we're aware of any serious sins, we have to confess those before we receive communion. Because mortal sin definitively closes us off to grace. And we have to have that reconciliation, that revitalization that takes place through our Lord in the sacrament of penance. Then there's many things that we can do before we ever get to Mass in order to be recollected when we arrive. One great way is to read the readings. Now, I know that for a lot of families, getting the kids out, all out the door in the morning, that seems like a fantasy. But it could be done the night before. That's usually what I do, is I'll read the readings for daily Mass the night before. And that's very helpful, because then when you wake up, you sort of have that in your mind. So whether it works out better Friday night or Saturday or Sunday morning, or Saturday night or Sunday morning, it doesn't really matter. But you begin to actually think about the Word of God before you ever arrive. And so, if we're already recollected when we arrive, the first thing we do when we arrive is, of course, we genuflect before we enter the pew. And that's something, too, that shows the generosity of God. Because, you know, God's already perfect. He doesn't need our genuflections or our kneeling or any of that stuff. But we do that in order to remind ourselves that we're in the presence of God, to help our own spiritual lives. So even the things that it seems that we're doing for God is really a gift to us. That's how generous our Lord is. So we genuflect, hopefully have a few moments for prayer. If we get here a few minutes early, that's another great way to recollect oneself. So just spend a little time in prayer before Mass begins, to thank God for the gift that we're about to receive. If we do that, if we thank God for that gift, then we realize what the gift is when we receive it. To participate in the Mass. The ancient prayers, you know, we often think, well, I'll pay attention during the readings and the homily, hopefully, but to really spend time listening to the prayers that are said. These ancient prayers that go back to the beginning of the church. Most of the prayers today were written by Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century and are some of the most beautiful expositions on what the Eucharist really is. To participate, to respond, to sing. Lightly if you don't have a good voice, but otherwise sing out. And then to approach the Lord with confidence, knowing that He loves each of you more than anybody else can love us. And then when we receive, to do it the way the Church asks us to. And this is always a good time to go through practically some of the ways that are good to receive communion. And some of the ways that are not. So we know that there's only two ways that the Church allows us to receive communion, on the tongue or in our hands. Now, if you're receiving on the tongue, the one thing is please don't lunge. Because what ends up happening is I don't want my fingers in your mouth. And I hope that feeling's mutual. If you're lunging forward, then it makes it a little difficult. There's a lot more that can go wrong with communion in the hands. So it's one hand over the other, the right hand underneath the left, so that you're taking up Jesus with the right hand. Don't be what I call the crab, where you're sort of snatching Jesus. This does not look good. And also don't walk off with Jesus. Don't kidnap him, because I'll have to follow after you. So just step to the side and immediately consume the Eucharist. If you start to walk off, I like what Father Saunders says, it's a body snatcher. So don't walk off. So if we do those, then we're all in good shape. And then I recommend afterwards, continue that spirit of recollection, that we don't watch the fashion show that's going on in the aisle. Because that's always the biggest, I remember when I was out in the pews, that was always the biggest distraction, was sort of seeing everybody walking by. And you're sort of thinking about what they're wearing or, you know, what it is that they're doing or whatever else. I mean, it's just like a stream of people. It's people watching at its best. But you've just received our Lord. So really to bow one's head and thank our Lord, just as you thanked Him beforehand, to thank Him afterwards for that gift. And to pray in thanksgiving even afterwards. You know, because one important thing is not to leave the church early. Now, you know, the word Mass means dismissal. Because the idea from even the early church was that one of the most important parts of the Mass is what happens after we do everything that we think is important, which is. But at the end, the dismissal is equally important because it's ascending forth. Because nobody who encounters Christ leaves the same way they came in. If we really have those grace moments with our Lord in the Eucharist, we're going to be different people when we leave than when we came in. And so, when the priest says, "Go forth, the Mass is ended," that's a key moment. And the blessing before that is to give us that additional grace, that blessing before we leave the doors. And then staying for the song, because that's that final praise. You know, St. Augustine said that singing is praying twice. So having that opportunity to receive the blessing, to go out a changed person, to have sung the praises of God, and then to go out into the world. Remembering, of course, that the only person that left the first Mass early on Holy Thursday was Judas Iscariot. And if you're not familiar, he's not the hero of the story. So we don't want to emulate that. And if you're worried about the parking lot, even staying 5 minutes after Mass to pray, everything clears out nicely. Or if you're caught in the middle of it, seeing how that grace really works in our lives as you have that incredible patience with everybody sort of streaming out. Ultimately, we have to understand that the Eucharist is our most graced moment we can receive, but that we have to cooperate with that grace. We have to open the door to the sacramental grace, because our Lord always says, "I stand at the door and knock." He doesn't break the door down. We have to open the door to let him in. And the way we open that door is by preparing ourselves, by participating, by receiving worthily, and by being with the Lord out in the world when we leave. And that's really the way we tell the Lord that we want for you to walk with us throughout this week. We want to walk down that road. The apostles or disciples going on the road to Emmaus walked with Christ and experienced his presence in the breaking of the bread. And he invites us on that same road. And if by doing these things, by having a recollected way of receiving communion, we invite him to walk on that road with us, then he will. He'll help us to bear our burdens. And that road never really ends, because that road takes us directly from time on earth into eternity in heaven.